1492, Columbus discovered America. Many people believe that his first contact was with the Indians. Well, that isn't quite true. In fact, a very bizarre and never revealed story did, in fact, occur. While Columbus and his men disembarked from the Mayflower and the Santa Maria, Zechariah, Columbus's book boy, wrote in his diary, which he kept in his pillow, he said, "A warning came from the beachhead. It was heard all throughout the area. Here comes the colonel. Here comes the colonel."
Oh, yeah, right. If we get these comics in here from down the hall, we share the building, as you know, with a studio down the hall that does auditions for Comedy Central, and they sneak in here and disrupt the program. Now, suggesting that I was around when Columbus landed? Yes. Well, I've been around. I'm older than dirt, but I guess that kind of explains it. Well, welcome back to the second half hour, The Promise of Tomorrow, here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. Of course, here we explore the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. In just a little bit, I'm going to introduce you to Aman Kumar. He's a senior computational linguist at BCL Technologies in San Jose, California. And he's working with Hassan Alam on developing query-based search technologies. Now, this is multilingual author identification. That is to know, you know, who's the author that you're dealing with. It all is part of security, and it's part of what we're covering with the Homeland Security Technologies Exposition that's going on in Boston the middle of November. November 12th through the 14th, as a matter of fact, at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. You can learn more about that conference at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a link to the Homeland Security Technology Conference. So that's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to introduce you to them in just a minute. And in the previous half hour, you heard from William Huba. He's the founder of Hivery, a startup focused on using machine learning to automate server monitoring and alerting, more technology that is geared to security for our servers and our computers. Really interesting stuff. Covert channel communications, mobile ad hoc network protocols for UAVs is how he got his start. And that kind of feathers in with what we're learning from our guest that's coming up here in just a minute. So, a lot of nice things going on. Of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And but now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information that we keep here on the set. The fountain of useless information is a kind of a cantankerous old guy, but we throw in the coins. We rummage around in the coin jar, and we throw in the coins, and we arouse the fountain. And then he comes back and answers our queries. We try to stump him every week, and it's not an easy thing to do. So see if we can do it this week. We've got a real tough question for him, and I think this time we might do it. So get around on the coin jar here just a little bit, and throw in the coins and summon up the spirit of the fountain. Here we go.
Welcome to the Fountain of Useless Information. How can I help you?
Yes, we have. We've awakened the spirit of the fountain by throwing in the coins. The spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right, O spirit of the fountain, put on your meditation cap here for just a minute. This is a geography question, all right? Think. The Kimberley Plateau, located just south of the Timor Sea, in what country? The Kimberley Plateau, located just south of the Timor Sea, in what country, O spirit of the fountain? We'll stump you on this one.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the
answer. O spirit of the fountain, just think when we can stump you. We can't stump you. The Kimberley Plateau, located just south of the Timor Sea, in what country? If you said Australia, you're absolutely correct. All right. Now, a little taste of the Science News Network studio band, and then back to today's program. ¶¶
course, we're covering security because we're doing the Homeland Security Technology Conference and going on in Boston in the middle of November and talking to some of the key people that are presenting there. We're lucky today we have with us Hassan Alam and Aman Kumar. Aman is a senior computational linguist at BCL Technologies in San Jose, California, and Hassan is the CEO, and they're working on some pretty interesting stuff, multilingual author identification and linguistic feature extraction, a machine learning approach, and I am totally in the dark over this. So, Hassan, did you want to give us a little background on what BCL does?
Absolutely. Thank you for taking our interview and talking to us. I do appreciate that, and I do appreciate all the audience who's here listening to us. So BCL started off about 20 years ago in the area of human-computer interaction. What we're trying to do is understand how humans speak and how computers understand that. So one of our early projects was with DARPA, where we were looking at how humans put information in tabular data and then how to interpret that. And you know, you think tables are simple in Excel, but the interpretation of that table is fairly complex because sometimes the rows and columns will be switched and sometimes you will need to superimpose things or sometimes there'll be hybrid tables. So that's where we started off with DARPA, and our initial work was with Adobe, which needed Japanese tables, and then in the financial domain. So that's where we started off. And we continued work in that area in human-computer interaction, and we moved into language. And really the goal is, how do people speak and how do people understand each other? We have done work in speech understanding. We did an early version of Siri, and we have done work in extracting information from text semantics. So this work which we are presenting is part of that overall picture. Now, one of the things in computer interaction, and even with people in talking to each other, is to understand who is talking to you. The reason we need to understand who is talking to you is that helps you put context. You might like certain authors better, you might like certain writers better. So that's from a social point of view, but from a national security point of view, what's important is to understand where the text is coming from in the web. You know, people put blogs on the web and people put messages on the web, and who is writing and why are they writing it, and understand the author gives you more context and helps you develop a sense of trust. One of the things in human communication, if you have a trusted source, that is very, very important.
Yes.
Now, the reason we're doing multilingual author identification is English is a very well-studied language, as are some of the Western European languages, but something like Arabic or Pashto or Korean, where it is in our national security interest to have both an understanding of who we're talking to, but understanding who, what and what they're saying and what they really mean. Is something I think we need to look at, and one of the areas we looked at was Arabic, because that we are in that area. It's a fairly complex language, and it's not as studied as other languages. So the area we looked at is, can we identify who is the author of items? And people do have ghost authors, and people do write anonymously. So we try to see, can we identify who the author is based on linguistic characteristics.
All right, so you got to figure out who the author is, and it's important to do that. Are you trying to say that people can disguise and be somebody that they're not, and so we've got to be sure that we're talking to the correct person? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I mean this is actually very, very important, and from a national security point of view, it's important because often people will try to pretend they're not who they are. And so that's part of deception. Mm-hmm. And there's a great story in the Second World War where the Allies fooled Hitler into believing that we were going to attack Greece instead of Sicily from North Africa. And so Hitler moved all his soldiers to Greece, and we landed in Sicily and saved a lot of lives. But if you did linguistic analysis, you would be able to tell that the supposed author was not really the person. And so if you can do that kind of thing, you can find out who's actually writing things. So from a national security point of view, that's important to know if a message is authentic. But not only that, if somebody else is posting somewhere else, we can know who the author is, and then we can say, oh, okay, this is the person we're tracking, and this is what they're saying. So from that perspective, it is important.
Okay, so at your presentation that you're going to do at the Homeland Security Technology Conference, you're going to explain about how this works and how it's useful. So fill us in a little bit. Give us kind of a preview, if you would.
Sure. As Hassan mentioned, this work is on author identification, characterization, and similarity detection in online text. Mm-hmm. So it obtains signatures of individuals and groups to gain an understanding of their thoughts and perceptions. So this may not sound politically correct, but this system can be used to profile online authors across online media forms such as email, chat, blogs, news groups, and across multiple languages. And this particular system is in Arabic. As Hassan mentioned, much of research is entirely focused on English. But Arabic is unique in the sense of morphology. It has a very different morphology and orthography compared to English and other Western European languages. It's a highly inflected language, for example. It uses diacritics, elongations, and derivative morphology. So from the linguistic processing or text processing point of view, Arabic has a more challenges, and we don't know much about it, especially the semantic part, the meaning part of Arabic. So this system, we are using statistical techniques and machine learning techniques along with linguistic feature extraction methods to understand who could be the author for a piece of text, online piece of text. So that's the overall our approach. And we are using language-independent methods to build the system. So, for example, lexical and structural features of a piece of text, which are mostly language independent, we are extracting that, we are mining that, and we are learning from it. We're using machine learning algorithms like support vector machine. We learn from that, and then when a new piece of text comes online, what we do is we try to guess with some confidence, and we give some confidence measure that, okay, by 90%, we are confident that this is the author of this new piece of article or new piece of text, even though they haven't mentioned the author name or the source of it. So that's the overall method and approach we have used to come up with this system.
Is this like studying? Now we're talking text, not voice, I presume that's what you're talking about, is text now, not voice. And so are we to say that you can tell by a person's writing style or their nuances in the things that they're saying that maybe this particular text could come from, King Saud of, Saudi Arabia, or perhaps instead come from one of the Alawites or something like that? Is that what you're telling me?
You're saying Saudi Arabia and Alawite in Syria, for example. So, I mean, at a higher level, we can identify groups as well. What group, if we know their methodology, if we know their ideologies, for example. We can identify the groups based on ethnicity or tribal affiliations using this method. This particular tool that we have built, or a prototype of which we have built, can identify individual authors. But if we want to scale it up to a group level understanding how a group understands or how a group works, then it has to be scaled up to mine a certain specific or domain specific data in that sphere of their workings. So yes, it can be scaled up to do that. But this particular system identifies a piece of text to allocate or to attribute to one particular author,
okay,
individual.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Then, now the people that find this most useful are going to be government, I suppose, NSA and Homeland Defense, and that's why you're going to be at the Homeland Defense conference in Boston. Does it have any civilian applications at all, or for industry?
Yes. So, for example, financial frauds, or you're familiar with content farming. Mm-hmm. So Amazon, if you go buy a product on Amazon, we don't know who is this the author by, hired by a particular interested group, or this is a genuine author who's writing about or raving about this product, or
okay.
Who doesn't like the product.
Yeah.
So we can identify, okay, this is the author who's a genuine in this case, and this is the case where it is coming from a content farm, which is basically you are hired to write something, a review about a product. And financial is the analyst writing a financial reports. Is there any vested interest there? Is there any fraud involved in this writing, in the reviews? So this tool can identify whether this is an original, genuine person writing this, or this is written by a fraud. So there are, and then you have in spam detection, so emails coming in, phishing, for example. So you are asked to send money to your brother who is stuck in London or in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of messages, this tool will be able to identify, no, this is not by the person who you thought wrote this email, but this is a fraud imposter who is writing you to get some money out of you. So it has some non-HST, Homeland Security applications as well. Hassan, would you like to add to this?
Yeah, so there is definitely in the commercial world where there's application, as Iman mentioned, there is interest in the financial world and in the identification of emails. People do write information, people do blog, and being able to know that it's a trusted source helps you. You might get this email which says, you know, help me, as Iman mentioned. Or you might see, for instance, a written statement by somebody you trust, but the author might be somebody else. So you can see who the real author is and know how trustworthy the information is. So one of the applications is in sentiment analysis, which people are doing a lot. Is it really the person who's writing about it, or is it somebody else who's ghostwriting for them? Or if somebody goes incognito into a different domain and writes about an article, we can say, okay, this looks like that author, and therefore we should pay attention to him, or we should not pay attention to the author.
All right. Well, that gives us, a pretty neat picture, and we're going to sure look forward to hearing you all make this presentation at the Homeland Security Technology Conference, the 12th through the 14th in Boston, Massachusetts, presented by IEEE. And I presume you're going to be able to give a demonstration of this at your talk too, or is this mainly going to be an informational session?
This is a paper presentation. There is no demo associated with this, but maybe at the demo we can give a site, a website, where you can try it out. But this one is just a paper presentation.
Just to add to that, we are working with the IEEE, and the IEEE's format is more the paper presentation. But if anybody is interested in a demonstration of how it works, we'd welcome them to approach us, and we can show it how it works. There's a lot of interest in this. And there's another commercial application which we were thinking of, is for instance in Amazon, where you look at a book and you say, I like this book, give me things which are similar, or give me author styles which are similar, and we can use that same technique to get you books which are similar authors. And so we think there's a commercial application on that. Some of our tests have shown that in document management systems, the likelihood of you reading something which is from a similar author is almost twice as much as if it's not from a similar author. So those are things we are working on.
Wow. Okay, Hassan and Iman, you're very interesting. This is really far out stuff, and to be able to accomplish this is quite a feat. We're really going to look forward to hearing your presentation, reading your paper, and the presentation at the conference. It's going to be good. Before we say goodbye, is there anything that we missed? Is there something that I didn't ask you that you want to be sure and get out?
Well, the thing I would like to add is I would encourage people to come and talk to us. One of the areas we are very curious about, and it's an interesting challenge, is short messages, because human language is evolving considerably. Written articles are not the dominant form of conversation in the future. Emails, SMS, and Twitter feeds are going to be something we're looking at. So if people are interested in that area, we encourage them to come and talk to us.
All right, gentlemen, Hassan Alam and Iman Kumar, senior computational linguist at BCL Technologies in San Jose, California, and Hassan Alam, who's the CEO of the company. You've been really informative. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. It really is deeply appreciated. We'll see you at the conference.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, before we get to the voice of reason, we want to remind you that this award-winning program has been non-commercial since 2010 and wholly supported by independent interests in the emerging science community and contributions from listeners like you. It is your support that keeps public programs like this one on the air. Donations are gratefully accepted at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On behalf of the staff and management here at the Science News Radio Network, our deepest gratitude to those of you who have contributed. Thank you.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
You know, it's really too late to go back to the cave and, shut off all our devices. And while one may be uncomfortable with the use of technology and personalization and the promise it has, we have to evaluate both the pros and cons before, summarily rejecting either of those. It's my belief that it always helps to get educated on cybersecurity and privacy laws and privacy issues. Extremely important that we make our own decisions and not get swayed by what's going on out there. I really think that we are moving in a world where we are essentially streaming. We are streaming sensors 24 hours a day, and it's about time that we go back and start teaching in our right along the civic lessons or the U.S. history lessons. As part of our early education, what it means to protect your data, how do you protect it, what are the implications of that? Because, we can count on, legislation, we can count on everything, but the single best line of defense is education. And I really think we are chartering into a new territory here, and we have to go back to our high school education and start educating people about what this really all means. And I think checks and balances will take care of itself. And technology has its promise, and I think we're going to see it. Ashish Jain. I'm the director of the Mobile Applications and Services Research Group here at Applied Communication Sciences in Basking Ridge, New Jersey.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you. I